If I could ask for the video to be set up that I'm going to show you. We're starting a new series today, and this video kind of sums up the whole series, which is what really matters in life. What really matters in life? For example, we live in a modern society. We've had no war in our kind of living memory for most of us. The New Testament was written in a time of persecution. And when you live in those times, things get really stripped back in your life and you really figure out what really, really matters. Christians then learn to really cherish their faith. They learn to cherish their life and witness. And they learn to really focus on eternity. And so over these next, between 4 and 6 weeks, we're going to look at that question. What really matters in life? Now, how many of you have seen the film Notting Hill? Seen that? I'll just briefly explain. Hugh Grant is a bumbling normal bookseller in Notting Hill, and he bumps into an international superstar celebrity and they fall in love. But they have two different worlds and they collide at a particular moment and they work out this issue, what really matters, and this video will explain that.
I'll get the jam, you get the door.
What? What is it?
No, really.
You're up to something.
Anna, no, please.
And I got a picture of you dressed like that.
Yes. I'm dressed like this, yeah.
I know, I know. Just get over here. Damn it.
I wouldn't go outside.
Why not?
Just take my word for it.
Oh.
Not at all bad. Well chosen briefs, I'd say. Chicks love grey. Nice, firm buttocks.
How are you doing?
How do you think I'm doing?
I don't know what happened.
Oh, I do. Your furry friend thought he'd make a buck or two telling the papers where I was.
That's not true.
Really? The entire British press got up this morning and thought, I know where Anna Scott is. She's in that house with the blue door in Notting Hill. And then you go out in your goddamn underwear.
I went out in my goddamn underwear too. Get out.
I'm so sorry.
This is such an unbelievable mess. I come to you to protect myself against more crappy gossip, and now I've just landed in it all over again. I mean, for God's sake, I've got a boyfriend.
You have?
Well, as far as they're concerned, I do, yes. And now, tomorrow, there'll be pictures of you in every newspaper from here to Timbuktu.
No, I know that, but just let's stay calm.
No, you can stay calm!
Right.
All right, this is the perfect situation for you, isn't it? Minimum input, maximum publicity. Everywhere you go, people say, oh, well done you. You slept with that actress. We saw the pictures.
Stop. I beg you. Calm down.
Buy those an expensive dinner or holiday, depending if he's got the brains to get the going rate on the trail.
That is not true. Wait a minute. This is crazy behavior. Can't we just laugh about all this? Seriously, in the huge sweep of things, this stuff doesn't matter.
What he's going to say next is there's people starving in the Sudan.
Well, there are, and we don't have to go anywhere near that far. My best friend slipped. She slipped downstairs, cracked her back, and she's in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. You know, all I'm asking for is a normal amount of perspective.
You're right. Of course, you're right. It's just that I've dealt with this garbage for 10 years. You've had it for 10 minutes. Our perspectives are very different.
I mean, today's newspapers will be lining tomorrow's waste paper bin.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, it's just one day. Tomorrow, today's papers will all have been thrown out.
I may have told a few people down the pub.
Right.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Forgive some of the language, but I think in those moments the stress builds up. And I think it shows us what really matters. When those things collide, people really figure out what really matters. Celebrity is just a bubble. And there are kids starving in Sudan, and it does make you focus on what really, really matters. And many Christians, we're faced with difficult times in our lives when things kind of just go wrong, or they aren't the way that we would like them to be. They don't work out the way we'd hoped, and all our best laid plans don't work out. And I believe that God wants to speak into us as a church over the next few weeks about these kind of situations. And today, I want to kind of talk about this phrase which you hear a lot in life, which when everything is said and done and people are chatting down the pub and things are going wrong and someone's consoling you and someone will just say that line, well, what really matters is living a good life. Have you heard that? Someone will just encourage you, don't worry, what really matters is just living a good life. So I want you to kind of imagine this scene in your mind. You want to be really close to God. You want to be a really good Christian. You want to kind of maximize your experience as a Christian. And you start to say to yourself, right, I'm going to go through a time now where I'm going to go for it. I am going to determine to pray, not just for a few minutes each day, but I'm going to pray for an hour, just like Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to pray for an hour. And you're going to read through the whole Bible in a year. And just to tough it out, you're going to start with Leviticus and not give up at Leviticus, because maybe you've done that before. And then you think, I'm going to volunteer at Elderberries. They're a really clean place to live. They've got a good hygiene rating. I'm going to spend some time volunteering there. And then you think, I know we're doing Alpha. I'm going to bring someone to Alpha as well and be a great witness. And then I'm going to be really loving to my spouse. Just throw the hardest one in there right at the end. And what you've done is you've started to make your own law. And you've tried to fulfill your own way of fulfilling a law and reaching some kind of mark. And you and I know that that kind of thing just ends in tatters, doesn't it? You have a late night and you oversleep, and so you revert back to praying over your breakfast. And you don't have time to read your Bible on the train because someone sits down next to you that you haven't seen for a while, so you catch up with them. You're not able to go to Elderberries because you've got a cold. The person you've been praying for to come to Alpha is a no-show, and then to top it all off, you're late home from work and you're running past the shop you usually pop into, and you sit down at the table and your spouse says, where's the milk? And you say, ah, I forgot it. And they go, again? And you realize, oh no, I'm really unloving. And before you know it, all your best laid plans, what really matters for you, is all lying in complete tatters. This is the same situation that we find in the book of Galatians. The Galatian Christians were new converts. They had Paul preach the gospel to them, and Paul had left them behind. He was continuing on his journeys around the Mediterranean, and they were growing in their faith. And there were some Christians who were overzealous because of their Jewish background, and they had turned up at the church and seen these Christians living their lives in the freedom that there is in Christ, and they had started to say to them, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to get circumcised. You also need to obey the law of Moses. And there were some Christians there who reacted completely against that. Dave, perhaps you turn the ringing down, it's a bit heavy. They completely reacted against it. And they were saying, no, 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 we don't need to do anything to be a Christian. We can do whatever we like. We're completely free in Christ. And so you had two ends of the scale. One, people saying you must be believers in Christ, and you must obey the law of Moses. And then you had others saying, no, 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 none of that. You just do what you want to do. You're free. Christ has forgiven you. Live your life. And this is exactly what Paul was saying to them in their situation, as he's saying to us. They were saying, we just want to live a really good life. And the way we live a really good life is either by living completely in freedom or by obeying the law. And they were getting these two things. And we have a situation where Paul said, no, this isn't, neither one of these is good for you. Neither one of these is right in God's eyes. Neither one of these is actually the gospel. And Paul starts the book of Galatians saying, I'm really, really surprised at how quickly you have fallen away from the gospel of grace. You've either fallen one way into living your own life, being immoral life because you think you can do whatever you want. Now you're free in Christ, or you've fallen the other way where you're going right back into law and you're trying to obey the law of Moses. So what actually happens is this. Paul says they are confused in chapter 1 verse 7. He says the Galatians are confused between these two things. They've misunderstood the gospel of grace and their life is in tatters. The gospel that they were given and that helped them understand how Moses spoke about Christ and how they should live in freedom and be a standout witness to those people around them in their different lifestyle, it was all in tatters. And then we move on in the book and we see this, that Paul says very strong language. He says in verse chapter 3, verse 1, he says, you have become bewitched because they were being told they had to obey the law. We'll read a short passage of this in a minute so we can see where Paul summarizes it all. But then he goes on chapter 3 verse 10 and says, you've actually become cursed because you have to obey the whole law. If you just obey your favorite parts or you obey your own law that you've made up which you think makes you a good person because you're just trying to live a good life and everyone has their own description of what they think a good life is, then you're also going to be living a life that's just in tatters as well. And then he goes on further, chapter 4, verse 9, and he says, you've actually become enslaved. And not only enslaved, but miserable. I don't know a happy slave. No one wants to be enslaved. But he says to them that you have been controlled by all these new laws. You're into monthly festivals and these seasons of festivals, and you have no joy. You only have a joy if you feel you've obeyed. You only have a joy if you feel you're good enough. And he's saying this isn't the gospel of Christ. Their joy was in tatters. Their whole life was in tatters. Their faith was in tatters. And their witness was in tatters. And then he goes on chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He mentions some more words which really highlight the situation for us. He says that they were burdened. He said you've become burdened again to a yoke of slavery. Because they were saying that they needed to be circumcised. That was the way they're going to fulfill the law, by being circumcised. And Paul was saying this is not the case. And he was saying that if you circumcise yourselves, you're making Christ of no value to yourself. There's no reason for Christ to die. Your faith is in tatters. You're trying to get your faith by everything you do. And it wasn't becoming a faith, it was becoming deeds. And then lastly, in chapter 5, verse 4, he puts the nail in the coffin to them and says, you've actually become alienated from Christ. They have started to rely on their performance as a believer. They've started to rely on how they're feeling about their performance, how good they think they're doing as a Christian. And they constantly are being challenged to match up and be better and better, and they cannot do it because they cannot fulfill the law. And this is a situation that you and I can find ourselves in. We want to be a good Christian, but we know that our performance doesn't match up to it. And so we go one of two ways. We go, forget it, none of it matters. And we just do whatever we want to do and go, oh, well, God loves me, forgives me anyway. Or we go the other way and say, I really got to try really hard. And then we set ourselves that scenario that I set you at the beginning, where we say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, do this, and then I'll be a really good Christian. And so we find ourselves in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, at the summary of all this. If you want to get your Bibles, let's read these first six verses together. And Paul wants to speak freedom into this situation. And that's what I believe God has for us today. He wants to bring freedom into our lives. I want to explain to you how we can be free of these kinds of scenarios, because maybe you're here today and you feel a bit like this. You feel a bit enslaved. Christianity is a bit of a heavy yoke for you. The joy has gone out of your Christian living. That song we sung right at the beginning of the church service, My First Love. You want your first love back. And you've tried to get it back through doing various things which you think will get it back to you. And it hasn't come back. And you found yourself burdened now by things. And you feel apart from God. You think, how can I be close to God if I'm doing this, this, and this, when God is that, that, and that? And Paul speaks right into this situation. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, all these things that we've got up here. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But, here comes the but. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that matters, Paul says, is faith. And if you've got a real faith, that real faith is going to show itself in the good life that you've been wanting to try and live. In other words, faith in Christ alone, you'll live in freedom and it will produce the life you want to live. Your first love will be recovered. What's wrong with this phrase, what really matters is living a good life? Because it does sound quite good, doesn't it? What really matters is living a good life. You get this when you're down the pub having a chat and people are talking about different worldviews, different religions, different people they've known in their lives. And you get all these conflicting views and you can't really find one answer and you all agree that, well, it just, all that matters is that you live a good life. The problem with that is the fruit is the aim, not faith. Your good life becomes the aim rather than faith in Christ. And we get caught up with that. God wants to call us out of our works and back into faith. He says here, chapter 5, verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Believe in Christ alone for your righteousness, and then you'll live the good, moral, loving life that you want to live. Galatians 5, 14 says, the whole law is summed up in these two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Quoting from Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 40. Faith sets us free. A genuine faith sets us free so that we love. And so we find this law going on. This is what's happening. When you're spiritually in tatters, it's faith that matters. The way that we recover that sense of first love, the way that we recover that intimacy with Christ, that joy in our faith, that zing in our step, is not by living a good life and trying harder, but by believing alone in Jesus Christ, that he died and was resurrected. It's faith that really matters. And so Paul then starts to explain to them why faith matters. So we go back to this list of the description of, this is the description of a person's life who is trying to be good, who is trying to live out their Christian life, but miserably failing and feeling condemned and feeling that they don't match up. And first of all, he says to those who are confused that there's no reason for Christ to die if we weren't sinners. The fact that we know we need God and that we failed proves why Christ died. If righteousness could be gained through the law, he says, Christ died for nothing. Chapter 2, verse 21. The fact that Christ had to die shows that the law is not enough. Faith matters. When your life is in tatters, it's not the law that matters to you, it's faith that matters. Then he speaks to those who feel bewitched and cursed that things are always going wrong. And he sums these two issues up by the phrase believing. And he goes back to Abraham and he says, Abraham wasn't justified because he obeyed the law, but because he believed what God said to him. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, a fundamental verse that most of the Bible and all the New Testament is built on, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God took Abraham outside of his home and said, look up at the stars, Abraham. You don't have a child at the moment. You're too old to have a child, but that is how many kids you're going to have. Go on, count them, count them. How many stars are there in the sky? That is how many children you are going to have. And the reason why Abraham was credited as righteous, with righteousness, is because he believed that. He just said, okay, God. He believed it. It's faith that matters. And Paul is using this to kind of support that message, to say it's faith that matters. And then to these guys who are enslaved and miserable, he speaks about freedom, and he uses this story of Hagar and Ishmael in earlier chapters, where he figuratively speaks about God's promise of salvation, and it only comes through the free son. So Abraham had had a child through a slave girl called Hagar, and they'd named the child Ishmael. And later in life, when the boy had grown up, and he'd also had his own son Isaac by a miracle and through faith, then the issue came when he had to send his son out into the desert away and leave the son of blessing. And God said, listen to your wife, do what she says, she's in line with what I'm saying. And so God was saying to Abraham, the promise comes through the free son, not the son that is a slave son. And this is a metaphor to you and I, that there is no freedom when we put ourselves under our own law of what we think a good Christian is like. And there is no freedom when we try and live according to the law. And there is no freedom for the Galatians when they were going to get circumcised. Only by believing the promise that comes through the free son. It's faith that matters. Amen? It's faith that matters. It's great sometimes when people say, I am going to fast because I need to find some energy and some zing back in my life. But two people can do that same action and get different results. One person will fast through works and end up worse than they were at the beginning. And the other person will fast believing that God is going to do something in their life in that time, and they end up better. You can have two persons that say, I'm going to go on a Christian retreat. That should do it for me. The other one will say, I'm going to go on a Christian retreat, trusting that God will speak to me. Two people doing the same thing, but get a completely different result. It's faith that matters. Then he speaks to this idea of people being burdened in verse 2. And he says that they've misunderstood what circumcision is. Circumcision was a sign of faith. It wasn't a sign of obedience to the law. These other Jewish Christians were coming to Galatia and saying, to put the icing on the cake of your faith, you now need to be circumcised. And that will be a sign to everyone that you're obeying the law. But it wasn't, because the sign of circumcision was given before there was any law. The sign of circumcision was given to Abraham as a seal that he had believed God and how many kids he was going to have in the stars in the sky. It was a sign, and Paul is reorientating them back to faith and not to works. And he points to the value of faith in Christ. Their spirituality was in total tatters. And he said, it's faith that matters. And then lastly, we see that they were completely alienated from Christ. And he said, it's your faith that matters. The faith that is keeping you waiting for the return of Christ. See, the person who is eagerly awaiting the return of Christ is someone who knows that faith matters. And their only hope of salvation is belief in Jesus. But the person who is living by law and putting their own standards down as what they think a good Christian life is, they are fearful of Christ coming again, because they know they're not quite ready yet. They just need to do a few other things, or try harder, or do a little bit better. And they don't have the eagerness of faith. And the person who says, I haven't got my first love, or I'm struggling with any zing in my Christian life, or I'm feeling distant from God, I get it. It makes total sense.
none of us want the stuff down the left. Put your hands up if you want that stuff on the left. Anyone? No. I can make you have all that by saying to you, you should be here at 10:30 on the dot, or else you're not a very good Christian. I can put law on you very easily and say, you should be praying for an hour a day, just like Jesus told his disciples. Are you not praying an hour a day? And you leave, you go, oh, I must pray an hour a day. Or, as Paul did, and I want to do today, is speak faith to you and say, you are righteous through faith in Christ alone. That is the faith that will generate energy to serve at Elderberry's. That is the faith that will generate power when you're praying for someone to come to Alpha. That is the faith that generates a desire to cling to the Word of God. How many of you absolutely, with all your soul, love reading the Bible? And you're not sure how to answer that because you're thinking, well, if I am, is that proud? If I'm not, I'm a bad Christian. But I want to tell you that it's faith in Christ alone that will generate that desire, because you know that you're literally clinging on those words for your very life's breath. That's where the power of faith really matters. So, when this is happening, when you're spiritually in tatters, what is God doing? Why are we in these situations? We know this, don't we? We know that we're saved by faith, don't we? But yet we find ourselves in tatters sometimes because we've forgotten the message. But what is God actually doing? How is he speaking to us through it? What he's doing is he is exposing all forms of self-righteousness in us for two reasons. All forms of self-reliance and performance, he's exposing it for two reasons. Number one, because it offends God. Your own effort to be a Christian is repugnant to God, because you're depending on yourself, and that glorifies you. And God, and anybody, wants to remove offense from their life. Secondly, this is what I love about God. He is bringing you to the end of yourself so that he can renew faith in you. The whole book of Galatians is a faith renewing book. Have you heard when people say, the only thing I can do now is trust God? All I've got left now is to pray. That's a beautiful place to be. That is the place that God wants to bring us in the first place. That is the place that Paul's preaching, when he first turned up at Galatia, had brought them to. When Paul sailed off on his merry way and left the Galatians in their churches on Sundays and places of prayer and all the other places they met up, they felt, honestly then, that all they had was faith. It was only faith that mattered to them. But over time, 10 years I've been a Christian, 20 years I've been a Christian, 30 years I've been a Christian. How many years have you been at this church? For message after message, over time, gradually, other things come in. And Paul was saying, I want to renew your faith. You're spiritually in tatters. I'm going to show you that faith is what matters. And then he finishes up by warning them with a slight danger, because this message can be taken too far, because again, it's not understood. He doesn't say what really matters is faith. He says what really matters is faith working through love. If all that matters is faith, you'll be saying to yourself, well, I can do whatever I want. Doesn't matter what I do, it's just trusting in God. So I can light up my spliff, I can watch my video film that might not be so good for my eyes. I can go and eat whatever I want. I can hang around wherever I want and say whatever I want to say. I don't have to worry about, you know, growing in Christ and being more like Christ. I can just do whatever I want, because only faith that counts. And that's the other side of the argument. That's not law. That's like no law. But we are under a law. We are under the law of the Spirit, which is written on our hearts. And that law is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what Paul was saying was, bizarrely, the law that they were being told to fulfill, they couldn't by their own effort, but they could if they were trusting God, because that's how love works. Faith works through love. The best life we can lead is one of love. So when someone says to you, the only thing that matters is leading a good life, you can say the only way you're going to lead a good life is if you've got faith in God. It's good to leave a good life, but it's better to believe, because God is concerned with where that motivation comes from, not just the idea of it, not just the action of it. As I said to you, two people can do the same thing and have a different response. And that's what God has for us today. Love is the work of faith. Love is the work of faith. As God is putting a genuine faith and restoring that genuine faith that you have in your heart today, love is starting to pour out of your heart. You want to share that with other people. You want to give that away to other people. You want to bless other people as you've been blessed. That's how the gospel works. So what is God doing today amongst us here now? It's bringing us to the end of ourselves, because he's in a few minutes going to renew faith in some people. He's reminding you that faith matters. You may think your life spiritually is in tatters. You're nowhere where you need to be, you think. But God is going to show you actually you are right where you need to be, because you've only got me left. See what I'm saying? Faith matters. Pete, can you come up with your musicians? And I just want to offer a time of prayer to people at the end of this service. If you want to come down the front in a minute, when we play our final song, myself and Mick, perhaps Steve as well, I'd love to pray for you, lay hands on you. Because as I was preparing this message during the week, I was sensing, and I indeed heard from people, that prayer is hard. Their life is gone from their Christianity. Some are struggling to break sinful habits. And they're trying to break the sinful habit, but they themselves are actually getting broken down by it. Some Bible reading is really poor, you're feeling distant from God. Some faith, you just feel tired out and you need invigorating. Some are struggling to forgive and burdened by this impossible level of Christianity, of loving everybody you meet.